I love the brother, man. It was nice to assemble in Bozeman this morning, but I certainly missed you guys and the assembly here. A couple things I was thinking about. That song that Josh Gold, the new song, you know, I don't know how you guys are, but I like to pay attention to words because we're always bombarded with it and there's always a message, and I try to be on guard against what goes into my mind and into my heart. And so the words of that song were great. You know, there are various challenges. There are various, sometimes we're walking in the sunshine and sometimes you're in the dark. And, you know, I don't mean with Christ you're never in the dark, but there's high points and there's low points. But if Christ goes with me, I'll go anywhere, right? That's awesome. And then, Clint, your Lord's Supper really went with that. And to think about the Lord's Supper this is Christ. What is the bread? My flesh. And the rest for our souls, right? Jesus promised that. And what a tremendous opportunity we have. And then to see, you know, Clint, just to, you know, everything that you and your family's been through, and then to see the Lord working here and bringing you and Alicia together, and to see the support you're up here, and Larry Miller comes up and friendly, I see love and from him, and then Michael comes up and William Sweeney, and just the love of the brethren. You can see that right there, supportive of each other and encouraging each other and loving of each other. And tonight, that's what the topic is, brethren. I was thinking last time I enjoyed. So anybody remember what the last? Anybody besides me remember what the last topic was on the night that we did the Miley knows? Anybody besides Miley remember the last time we did shotgun? Miley's got it. The guys that gave it know it. Anybody? Mr. Simpson remembers. Work. Right? Work. And I thought it was great. Well, tonight, our topic is love. And God is love, isn't He? God is love. And so what better topic can we talk about? So, I didn't look up any scriptures. I just thought of five off the top of my head because the scripture talks so much about love. We could do this for multiple times in a row, but I'll let these guys introduce their own topics. Gentlemen, the rules are the same. You have 5 minutes. I'll give you the one when you get there. And I'm looking forward to this. So.
Good evening. My topic to talk on tonight was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We're going to be working out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, so you guys can go ahead and turn there. But as we're turning there, John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Now, what did Christ do for us? He laid down His life for us. And then what's He ask us to do in return is one of the greatest commandments. To love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our might, and with all our strength. Great love is showing by laying down your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, picking it up in verse 5, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals of your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Something that jumps out at me there in that scripture says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hands and on your foreheads. Now when you think about this, what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we're all going to go out and get tattoos on our hands and on our foreheads of Bible verses. That's not how we're binding the Word to our hands and our foreheads. But what it does mean is we have these words, they're written in our hearts, and they're displayed through our thinking and through our actions. The foreheads, the hands. It says it's written on our hearts. Where's love to say it comes from? It comes from the heart. What we think about and what our actions show us doing should be showing the love of God. We should be showing the love of God with our hearts. That's what we feel. We should be showing it, or we should be loving God with all our soul. Our soul is the very thing that moves us. The Spirit of Christ in our souls gives us life. We should love God with our mind. That's what we're thinking. We should love God with our strength. Our strength are the actions that we are performing. Matthew 7, verse 18, the first part of that says, "You shall know them by their fruits." What's it talking about? Well, your fruits are your actions. So if we're doing what we're told, are our actions showing love? Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, verse 32, "And the scribe said to him, 'Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there was no one else beside him. And to love him with all your heart, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" You see, what sticks out at me there is it says it's much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, I think in the Old Testament there was an attitude going on that all they had to do was show up and give the sacrifice, or show up and give the offering, and then they were good to go. And sometimes that can happen in the church. That can happen in our own actions. We cannot base our progress of what we're doing on how good or how many times we're reading our Bible in a day, or how many assemblies we're hitting. Those are great things to be doing, but you see, those actions can be performed with wrong motives. And if they're being done in the wrong attitude, then your actions are not coming from your overflow of love for God, but they're coming from a selfish motive. And then we're not obeying that commandment. We're not loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. See, to obey that first commandment, the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're doing that, it's going to be dictating everything you do in life. All your actions. If we want to love God greatly, well, great love is shown through laying down your life.
Thank you. Good evening. Okay. Well, my story starts on Friday. I have a project to design a substation. I finally got all the information I needed to get this design together for the due date of November 7th, which is coming up pretty quick. So I downloaded a bunch of files on my thumb drive, and I'm thinking, all right, meet Saturday or Sunday afternoon, I can get a lot of this done. I'd probably get my circuit switcher elevation done this weekend. That would be great, because I had to build one myself. So I'm on my way home an hour later than I was hoping, because I needed to stack some firewood too. And my brother-in-law calls. He's got a pile of trees and branches and stuff in his lawn. And I know my father-in-law was working on that all week and struggling with it. You know, it was hurting his body. So I'm thinking, oh, man. He says, oh, you have a chainsaw? You know, he asked me, you got a chainsaw? Yeah, I got a chainsaw. And so, yeah, long story short, I'll help you this weekend. So finally, we got it done at 5 o'clock tonight. And everything's all cleaned up. And so that felt pretty good. But I didn't want to do it because I had stuff to do myself. And so at first I was going to try to get out of it. But I thought, no, he needs our help. My father-in-law needs our help. We'll just do it. So I put my stuff aside. But not without some reluctance. So anyway, if you go to Matthew 22, I'll just start in verse 35. We're familiar with this. The Pharisees were asking Jesus questions and they were testing him. And or 36, and they asked him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great commandment, or the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And I thought about that, and really, those two sentences in 37 and 38 really describe a Christian. I mean, that's, when you boil it all down, it's like make maple syrup. You have 50 gallons of sap and you boil it for 10, 12 hours and you get 1 gallon of syrup. Well, you boil down a Christian, this is us right here. So I've got my Jeep and my trailer and we're doing all this woodwork, and so I turned it on, and I usually plug in my phone, but there was a classic rock station on. So this song comes on that I really liked. It came out in 68 when I was in high school, and I'm going, wow, this is cool, awesome song. And then I heard the words in that song, which I haven't listened to that song in a long time, and these are the words. When I was really paying attention to it, because you'll see why this like went, whoa, what is this? And it starts in the second verse, "And I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain, made darn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate." Now, I don't think Christ had any doubt. But I'm going to read on. If you realize who's saying this, it makes more sense. "Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change, killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a general's rank, when the blitzkrieg raged and bodies stank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, yeah. Oop. Oh, what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. I watched with glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, "Who killed the Kennedys?" when, after all, it was you and me. Let me introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste, and I laid traps for troubadours who get killed before they reach Pond Bombay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Oh, yeah. So that I listened to that song when I was growing up in high school, and it was really, the melody is awesome to it. But I finally heard the words today because I hadn't heard it in a long time, and realized what he was talking about in there. And so to tie that together, what I mean, we, in our studies, we've been watching the video, How Shall We Then Live? And, you know, he talks about this history and where was the church, and that the church wasn't, didn't intercede or say enough to help stop these things. Well, it's, the church is you and I. We are the church. I am the church. So how do I stop things like that? One person at a time. My neighbor. I've got to love my neighbor. And if every one of us loves our neighbor, that's how we change that. That's how we change history. That's how we please God. So, thank you.
My own clock. All right, jump to Ephesians 5. We 25 through 29. It says, husbands, I'm going to let you guys catch up, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, so he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, they might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy, blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. You know, we've got two boys in our family, Braden and Micah. They're the older two of our three kids. And everybody told me, I remember Luke especially, you know, girls are different, you know. I didn't really appreciate that until Mackenzie hit about between 1.5 and 2. Girls are very communicative. they talk you know, a lot more than boys. Our boys are high energy kids. If you've been around them, they'd like to really talk. But wow. And it's a good thing that girls talk quite a bit. It's how God's really created them. I mean, that is, so that's, you know, that's, I mean, there's other differences, but if you look at it at a mental level, they talk a lot more. They can speak quite a few more words. Usually girls learn to talk sooner, and they're actually a lot clearer. So this starts early with females, and it just keeps on going, you know. It just keeps on going all the way up to adulthood and then on out. And I really, that's something as a male, as a husband, I've had to kind of learn and kind of tie into him a little bit more. So when God says, you know, love your husbands as your wives, what's the number one thing you can do as a husband to love your wife? Probably listen to her. You know, because the number one thing a woman wants to do is to be heard. She wants you to hear what she's actually saying. You know, God does the same thing with us, says as the church. What did God do? Does God just bring down his rule and say, here, deal with it? Well, kind of under the law. That's not what he did with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, he came down and he communicated to us exactly who he was. And he wants us to communicate back to him. What does Jesus talk about quite a few times? Prayer. Prayer. God wants a two-way relationship, communication going both directions. It says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Communicate with them. The number one thing. If you don't communicate with someone, do you really know them? No. And if you don't really know them, do you really have a relationship? Not really. You have something made up in your mind as a relationship, but it's not real. You know? And how many ears do we have? Two. How many mouths do we have? One. Listen twice as much as you talk. You know, but he says communicate and actually listen to what they're saying. I have a real struggle because when I talk with people a lot of times, especially when I was younger, I would be thinking about what I'm saying instead of listening to what they're saying. And especially even with my wife, especially if we're not agreeing. So you need to communicate with your wives. God communicates with us who he is. Okay. Now, does this mean we always do everything our wife says? No. But you communicate. You actually, at least they know they're heard. I see this. I'm sure Nolan is manager. Sometimes with employees or other coworkers, you just got to listen to what they have to say. And then they're okay, even if you don't agree with it, but you got to listen and hear what they say. Does God listen to everything we say and say, sure, yeah, you got that, no problem. You can have this, that, and the other thing? No. Sometimes he says no, but he does hear our prayers. We are guaranteed that in the scriptures. So God hears us. Okay? So you got to listen to your wife. Christ listens to the church big time, or to our gathered. He hears us. Okay? The next thing you got to do is lead. You know? You can't lead unless you communicate, because how do you know you're leading? How do you know they're following? How do you know they're even there? Okay? We got to lead. And again, does that mean we do everything our wife says? No. You know? But it does mean we hear what they say. It's the same thing with Christ. Christ hears our prayers. Does he answer everyone? No. But he leads. You have to lead by example. And that's really the key to leading. You know, it doesn't mean you do everything you want to do. No, there's a sacrifice. Sometimes you have to, you know, sacrifice. There's a common theme going through all of these. Love requires a sacrifice. You know, if I'm in the box, if you didn't hear Nolan's message, get the tape. It was fantastic this morning, his class. If I'm in the box, I'm not leading. I'm doing whatever I want to do. I'm probably not communicating. But if I'm communicating and I've listened to my wife, then I can lead effectively. And I can lead by example. Sometimes that means sacrificing what I want for what's best for the family. Did Christ sacrifice for us? I think so. That's the ultimate example of love, is sacrificing what we want for what is best for our wives, for our families. That's what Christ has done for the church. So the number one thing you can do, you know, to love your wife as church is talk to her and listen to her, more importantly. And then is to lead. Lead not by what you want to do, but by sacrifice as Christ has sacrificed for us. Thank you.
You know, I never used to think of myself of being able to have the pleasure of being able to speak before the church, before the saints. But tonight, I've been Luke asked me. He's like, "I'm like, sure, I'd be happy to give me of the continual love of the brethren as a theme." And I started thinking about that, and how are we going to be able to apply this continual love? Well, we have to be able to start in a certain place first of all. Everything has to start at a certain place. Reading out of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 20, starting in verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. You notice how God takes things and he applies them not to us only physically, but then they transfer to us spiritually. That's been his pattern from the Old Testament back into the New Testament. Do you understand that the integrity that you show when you start, it starts with our families, so that the battles that have already been won don't have to be stretched down again? We're going to still have this continual battle that Satan puts before us. But the whole purpose of starting them young, starting from the school, so when they get to that choice, they're going to be able to realize that there's a difference. They're going to be able to realize that there's two different sides here that we're going to be fighting from. Now, how does this come forth into the church? as we start young with new Christians, someone that you've been working with, someone that you've had the opportunity to labor over, invest your time in, what's that? How's that going to carry out? You don't think that you're going to be the person that they're going to be looking to all the time? We might be gathered around tons of great examples that we have through each other. But if you've grown up next to that person, if they started learning from you, they're going to always refer back to you for the tough questions and the choices they have to make. So what choices did we get have to make? Who do we refer back to? We refer back to Christ and His words and His actions that He took in order to bring those forth. Without that standard, we're just someone else who's a good person. We're not going to be able to say, you know, how love is forged. Well, people say, well, I love my family. Yeah, you do love your family. You know what? Because you guys all had to grow up in the same house and you had to go through battles together. You're nagging on each other. You're trying to get along. I don't like when you do that. Okay? You think it changes within the body of Christ? Other than now that we're growing up and, okay, we get to fight battles together, when they get won, that bond gets even stronger. See, God set that forth, and Christ set that forth, that bond, it can't be broken. No one, no Satan, no nothing can break this bond. And this is that hope that keeps driving us forward, how we continue the love of the brethren. Because there isn't anybody who wouldn't need my help that I wouldn't say I'd be glad to help. Glad to help. Not because I'm getting the benefit out of it, but because they're going to get the benefit. Now, you don't think that people in the world today are going to see that? You don't think that they're going to say, wow, just help me. You know? So, you know, I've heard Clint paid for a guy's pizza because he didn't have his checkbook. He had his kids there. Okay. What does that say to somebody? That people still care about you. Instead, in today's society, everybody has to wrap up in their own box and their own cube and wants to say, put their blinders on and be protected. So, as we continue the love of the brethren, we have to start back from the beginning. How does that start? Does that same integrity carry all the way through? We care about raising our children, our own personal children, up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What about our spiritual children? What about the people we're working on? Thank you.
The text that I was given. We're going to continue to talk about love, of course. And mine will tie in real well with what Justin just ended with. So in verse 9 of Romans 12, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You know, I'm thankful that this has been on my mind, actually, so I'm thankful that this opportunity has come up as well as the other gentlemen had mentioned. You know, and Larry kind of hit on this, but I didn't really hear anyone solidly bring this out. But the love in this verse, in verse 9, is agape love. This is sacrificial love. And it was talked about. It was hit on and it was talked about, but I just wanted to make sure that I brought that out. And the first thing that came to mind when I read this was the book of James. So let's turn there to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I'd like to look at verse 16.
Actually, let's start in 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what is that? What use is that? You see, our love is borne out in the things that we do for each other. This is how people know we are disciples of Christ. This is how we know we love one another. It's not a bunch of empty air, right? And brethren, if we are truly disciples of Christ, if we know who we serve, if we know who we are serving with, this is going to be a natural result of love for one another. Let's turn to 1 John 3. As it was pointed out, the thing that the one way, the biggest way, the biggest action that a man can do for someone else is lay down his life for another. And we have that example. And we need to be doing that for each other. That is to love without hypocrisy. Not to say, "Oh, I hope you're doing real well," and then when an opportunity comes up, not to actually help them out so that they are well. In 1 John 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but let us love in deed and truth. Thank you.
I got to tell you, these are some of my favorite messages on Lord's Day. I mean, I like the word, but these are just fun. Get different guys' perspectives, a few different passages on a topic. I think it's great. And, you know, everything that you guys brought out from the Scripture, it really does come down to kind of where we started. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then these things play out. They're carried out. And so just in closing, consider this. You want to make it to heaven? Two things you got to do. Love God and love people. You want to help other people make it to heaven? Help them learn to do these two things. If it be your kids or if it be your spiritual disciples you're working on, if it's just, these are the two things that people got to learn. It starts with love of God. And that love of God overflows into love of souls, love of people. And so I appreciate the word. I appreciate the example from God and the way that He set this forth. But I also appreciate the messages tonight. You guys did awesome. They're wonderful. Let's close the word of prayer.